Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2017 Home Education Conference, held in Logan, Utah.
I'm Jennifer Hahn, and my title is Making Music Amongst Mayhem. Think about life without music. It would be just horrible, in my opinion. Any comments? How would it be for you?
Really quiet.
Yes, really quiet. And less emotion, less communication. It would be frustrating because music, when I feel sad, I need music. I need that to boost my confidence and just get back in tune with where I need to be. I started my four oldest around the ages of 7, 8, and 9 with piano lessons. And it has been just amazing ever since. And then they all have string instruments too. And in my patriarchal blessing, it says something to the effect that my greatest joy will be in my children. And how true that is. In 3 John 1:4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. They are my passion and my mission, definitely. And I'm living my dream through them, whether they like it or not. And I'm just so grateful for them. And for Mother's Day, my oldest, she said that, Mom, you have helped me to fulfill my dreams, and I'm just so grateful that you are my greatest cheerleader. I'm her greatest cheerleader, and I am. I just love what she has done, and I'm so proud of her. My four-year-old, well, she's now 5 years old, but she was, all of my kids were asked to present in a sacrament meeting a song. And so Brielle, my oldest, she got sick that day, and she's kind of our glue in our little orchestra that we have. And Braden played the piano, and Brian played the cello, and Brigham played the violin. And since she wasn't there, we brought Brinley up to sing. And she had practiced for a long time, but the words were a little bit difficult for her. So I sat down there and kind of mouthed them to her. And that was our plan. But as we came in and she saw all the people, she got really nervous. And I could see that she may just say, nope, I'm not doing it. She has a lot of confidence, and she's watched her siblings all go up there and do these performances. And so she's gotten confidence because of that. My husband saw that too, that she was gonna be just a little bit uneasy about going up. So he sat her on her lap, and I didn't know this, but he bribed her. And it worked, thank heavens. And she got up and was able to perform. And she did a great job. I was down there and I messed up on some of the words. It was my fault. But anyway, she came away with a lot of confidence, and I was just so grateful that she had that opportunity. And there's her musical bank account grew. And I do liken that to a relationship bank account. We stay in music and relationships even when we have negative withdrawals, because we have a bunch of positive deposits. We get those positive deposits from having lots of good experiences in performing. And it takes a lot of practice and time and energy to do all that and to get up there and have a positive performance. And this bank account is fragile, and we as parents have to make sure that they have lots of positive deposits. I took piano lessons for 6 years, and I have nothing to show for it. It's really sad. I did not like to go to lessons because I was never prepared, and it was just kind of a bad experience for me. I did practice a little bit because I did get superiors for 3 years in a row, and I do have a trophy for that. But I, in a sacrament meeting, failed miserably. I got up there and just, it was awful. Just awful. And so I never went back. I quit lessons after that, and it was just awful. So when the kids have performances, it's really important that they are prepared. Of course, they're going to have failures, but not miserable ones where they can't even play the song when they get up there. So we've had our share of not so good performances, but for the most part, they have been good, and that's really, really important. I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, I do have a sheet in the book and you don't have to get it out. It's not that big a deal. But I just likened all of my subjects to musical terms in there. So that's why those are there. And I started out with the background, which I titled Intro. Then I'm going to go down to what music does for the brain, and it's called Bene or Ben, and it's well marked. So the brain is well marked when you put music into it. A study published in the Journal of Neuroscience shows that learning to play an instrument before age 7 changes how the brain develops in several ways. First, there is an enhanced ability to interpret and integrate sensory information, such as hearing, touch, and sight. For example, musical training heightens the brain's ability to pick out specific sounds, like a voice in a crowd, or a specific melody or harmony. This ability also helps the brain become more adept at learning new languages, which is exciting, because a good part of homeschooling is learning a foreign language. But music is a language, too. And then the corpus callosum acts as an added defense against memory loss when you stimulate it with music, and cognitive decline that many older adults experience. So if we can bypass the memory loss, that's awesome. A study by Brown University showed that learning music helped to build gray matter, which is responsible for processing and retrieving information, and new neural connections within the brain, thus increasing brain volume. These new connections can help enhance intellectual and emotional skills, such as reading comprehension, mathematics, spelling, and listening and motor skills. If you're looking for specifics, a study completed by researchers at the University of Wisconsin and the University of California showed that when children were given piano lessons over a 6-month period, they performed 34% better than other children who were not given piano lessons. Some of the children who didn't perform as well were given computer lessons instead. So computers just don't quite live up to musical instruments, playing those. The researchers explained that learning to play music jumpstarts areas in the brain responsible for spatial temporal reasoning, or the ability to picture a spatial pattern and understand how items or pieces can fit into that space. This ability also increases problem-solving skills and organizational skills. On the other hand, computer lessons did not force children to think ahead or visualize like they have to do when playing music. These are the benefits of music and how we can incorporate them into our school. In a devotional, we have hymns that we can play, and then as you bring in memorization, you can use music to memorize poetry and scriptures and lots and lots of things. We start ours with our children playing hymns, and so that helps a lot too. And then music, you can study the history of composers, and then science, there's lots that you can do with science. Study the instruments, study how it affects the brain, and study how it affects the body and how it responds. And then public speaking and performance, it's big in that. And then reading. All of my children, every one of them, after they started playing an instrument, they struggled with reading. But then after they started playing their musical instruments, they took off with reading. It was amazing. And I didn't do a whole lot to help that, you know, go along. They picked it up, and they're doing great in that. So I love that about it. And then also we have a solfege class that we have a teacher come and teach them solfege or codi. And yesterday, they were writing out the solfege signs on the whiteboard. And when they got to the bottom line of the song, we were doing This Old Man, my 2-year-old just said the last line all by herself. And so it's really cool because as they're watching the older ones, they can pick it up as they're, you know, younger. I wish that I would have started my oldest ones with that too. That would have been great. But in the music class that we had earlier today, she was talking about how it's important to play games with your kids and music and with the younger ones. And even, you know, as they get older too. And that is huge. I did have my older ones in kinder music when they were younger, just playing those musical games. And I know that that helped a lot in there. There is a caveat too, though, with the music lessons. This is from sciencemag.org. Taking music lessons can strengthen connections between the two hemispheres of the brain in children, but only if they practice diligently, consistently. That is really important. My little nephew, he has something that is going on with him, and his parents have some behavioral problems with him. And since he has started to play the violin, he's in fifth grade now, he has just come such a long way. The behavioral problems have gone way down, and he has just done amazing. So I know that that violin, it's really helping that corpus callosum come together and connect the right and left brain. And it is just doing amazing things for him. There's an award that only one student out of the whole school gets every year. And I don't know the exact name of the award, I forgot to ask, but anyway, it's a huge, huge deal. And he got it last year, and he also got it again this year. So it's pretty amazing what violin or any musical instrument can do for a child. Braden is gonna get up and tell a story for me.
I have a friend, and when he was in grade school, he didn't do very good. At a parent-teacher conference, his teacher told his parents to take him out of school because his teacher said he was stupid. It wasn't worth the time of the school and of the teacher. It was taking too much effort, and he told him to take him out of school and put him in the workforce. But his mother denied and said he's not stupid. And his dad decided to buy him a violin. So he started violin, and he became a pretty good violinist. And this friend, his name is Albert Einstein. And Einstein said, the reason that I am so smart is because I play the violin. And he loves the music of Mozart and Bach. And his friend, G.J. Withrow, said, the way Einstein figures out his equations was by improvising on the violin. Just by playing the violin, he could figure out the problems. And also, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, and whenever he was stuck on something he couldn't figure out what to write, he would play his violin and it would come to him.
All right, so on a different note, on what music can do for the brain, or do to the brain, I should say, there is a rhythmic component becoming dominant in most popular music today. Too much hyperstimulation in the physical body. And that is not a good match with hormones in a teenage body, even an older body. We can evaluate music by finding that dominant component by turning down the volume as low as possible, and whatever you hear, that is what is most dominant. Is it rhythm? Is it the melody? Or is it the harmony that is most dominant? Melody should be most dominant because melody is the mind in music, and harmony is the heart and emotions in music, and rhythm is physical action of music. If harmony is dominant, then that means the heart is dominant, and that means the emotions can take over, and that may lead to bad choices. If rhythm is dominant, then it can wreak havoc on the body, as I'm about to explain. We need the mind to control one's emotions and actions. In these days, from about the mid-1950s on, rhythm is most dominant. And to make it worse, rhythmic patterns are being changed into syncopated forms. Syncopation is where the strongest beat goes against the normal meter or feel of the music. It's like bum, ba-ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-ba-bum. And I'm not good at music, but it's syncopated, it's off the beat. In classical music, the composer uses it to create a moment of tension and then resolve into a normal pattern to give the music variety and spice, whereas dominant syncopation is used as a consistent spice, such as straight salt. Dominant and persistent syncopation does not go away for the entire duration of the piece, and words and melody go one way, and then the rhythm goes another way, and it creates a tension in music and a tension in the body. There are two types of rhythms in the body. Our heartbeat has a triple beat. It's like a waltz. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's kind of that waltz. And that's what our heart does. Then the pulse that we find, that's a duple meter. And that's a march, like da, 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 da. So there's two in there. A song full of syncopation goes against the natural beat and perverts the rhythms and reverses the accent. This syncopated music can cause addictive behavior. Our body beats according to a normal rhythm. When you subject a normal body to an extended period of syncopated rhythm, the body feels like it is under attack. Endorphins and adrenaline are released into the body, helping to get rid of the interpreted painful stimulus. These hormones and endorphins leave the euphoric effect. People, especially teenagers, listen to this hours upon hours every day, receiving this effect, and they have to listen to it more and more to get that high. We need to learn to listen more objectively and indiscriminately to evaluate the music we are listening to. There's harmony dominant, melody dominant, and rhythmic dominant. And I wish I had more time to give you examples of these. Two resources that are amazing. I cannot say how wonderful they are. And I've listened to them over and over again, and I get new stuff out of them all the time. Michael Ballum's Music and the Mind, fabulous. Everyone should have a copy of this and listen to it over and over and over again. You can get it on his website. And then Andrew Poudois from the Institute for Excellence in Writing, The Profound Effects of Music on Life. They are amazing. And then, of course, just a good set of classical music. Just keep it in your car. I need to keep this in our car. I've gotten the resources of what I'm telling you about from them. Syncopation creates a tension and keeps the tension. It is so much better to create a little tension and end with a resolution, like it does in classical music. Syncopated rhythmic dominant music is like air pollution. We get so used to it that we forget that it's even there. And then they get sneaky and give you a non-dominant song that is easy to listen to, and it evokes like a dancing mood, but then the lyrics are terrible. And they give the example of The Devil Is Bad. And it's a popular song that people really like to listen to. Hearing a rhythm over and over again and consistently, like Silent Night. If there's somebody that they go, see, da, 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 and if I keep doing that over and over again, da, 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 da. He was doing that, he did it about 11 times, and he said, your brain is either shutting me out and just going into subconscious mode, which is what we do when we hear those syncopated rhythms, or we get really angry and our whole mood and demeanor changes. And he was doing that on purpose, and you know, you could tell, but really that's what they're doing in all the rock music and all that. He was liking it to boom, 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 boom. Okay, the Italians call this ostinato or obstinate. The Greeks called it illegal. In fact, if they found that composers were doing that, then they got arrested and they got put in jail. That's how bad it was back then, and they knew that back then. Now, it's just another air pollution or music pollution. We don't even know it's there. Those kinds of patterns and rhythms are tyrannizing to people. The human mind shuts down after 3 or 4 repetitions. That's it, and then it shuts it down. And the listener is no longer in control of their thought processes. Musicogenic epilepsy, that's what it's called now. And that is when the mind shuts down or does bad things. It just takes over. It loses power. And you do things that you don't even know you're doing. Oh, it's an altered state of consciousness. Okay, so that's what that is. There was a boy who went to a concert for AC/DC, and he was trampled to death. People there, that music just takes the power away from them. They don't know what they're doing, and they do these horrible, horrible things. It's just so vital that we learn to listen and learn to figure out what we are actually listening to, because I had to listen to this over and over again to really understand it, and I'm still, you know, well, is that syncopated or not? It's tricky. They're pretty smart. And there's a big time rock player guy. Anyway, they are out to get the kids, to take the power away from them, and they're doing it on purpose.
Rhythm has the most influence in nowadays in all music. Rhythm can be bad, but it's also amazing. Rhythm takes time and divides it into millions of equal parts. So melody is the linear portion that we whistle, and harmony fills it out and makes it have more richness. This is Bode's Law.
B-O-D-E-S, Bode's Law.
It's a principle by which the planets are held in their orbit by a vibrating frequency. Each planet has a vibration, a sound, and it's all one big chord. In the 1960 Chilean earthquake, seismographs told us that the Earth has a moan that is 20 octaves below the lowest audible range of the human ear. We have a tone in the smallest atoms of our body that is 20 octaves above audible human range. So the human body is in sync with the Earth, and the Earth is in sync with all the planets. The planets are all one octave apart. They each have their own tone. So God keeps the universe and the planets in order with this great chord. Music has the power to harmonize the human body and its soul. So depending on what kind of music you listen to, it can either harmonize the human tone or it can make it go crazy. Mozart does harmonize the human soul, and it makes you feel good. And there are rhythms and order in the human body and the universe that every time music is in sympathy with natural harmonic rhythm, we feel better. And if it's syncopated or the rhythms are bad, then we feel bad.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go on in the handout and go down. Does anybody have any questions so far? Not that I'm an expert on anything, but we'll try. Yes. Yes, it is. Michael Bellum.
What about the syncopated, like, jazz rhythms?
That I was trying to sing?
There's rock music that's syncopated.
Oh.
But to me, that's almost a different syncopation than the jazz and blues of, the 30s and 40s or something.
Uh-huh. And are you saying that they're syncopated,
well,
the jazz?
Uh-huh. Is that syncopation a negative thing?
It depends on if it's throughout the whole piece. You know, you'd have to listen to the whole piece to get that. And you just kind of listen if that beat is throughout the whole thing. Because classical music, you'll find it in it, but it's used as just a spice here and there, just to kind of get you, you know, excited about it. But if it's throughout the whole thing, then that's when you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Good questions.
It's more of a comment.
That's great.
My husband says that because he drives a lot,
uh-huh.
He listens to classical music, he is way more aggressive on the road.
Way more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And not just falling asleep like I do.
Yeah, he's more aggressive, but when he listens to, like, podcasts and voices, he's not as aggressive on the road.
Interesting. That is really interesting. Well, it's energizing. So maybe he's taken the energizing a little. That's interesting. I don't.
He listens to rock.
Yeah, that's a good question.
He listens to, I mean, he loves Metallica, but it drives me crazy.
Good.
But he listens to it. I don't know if it, he says it actually is not as much as the classical music.
Huh.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You got me there. But it what kind of classical is it? Like Mozart and I wonder what his definition of classical is. If he likes
instrumental classical.
Okay.
On the radio,
okay. Yeah. Should be good. I don't know. We need to do some research on that. Ooh.
I think Metallica and AC/DC, they have a tendency to deaden. And then if you're listening to classical, it's trying to realign you. And it could cause this friction inside of him that maybe could cause bring out anger or other things because he's not in sync and he can't comprehend it. I don't know.
I love that comment. That is, yes. I think you're right on there.
I think you are too.
Uh-huh.
Well, and my 5-year-old loves rock, and I'm kind of scared now.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I'm through all this. This has been a great experience because we've been able to be educated on all of this because we didn't know. So, yeah, that's, and kids are smart.
So are drums okay then?
If they're not doing, not in syncopation. Yeah, drums are wonderful, wonderful, but just keep it on beat. Or, you know, a little bit of syncopation here and there.
Just not the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can't stand the same
thing. Right.
Uh-huh. And they have one drum that keeps the tempo for everything else.
Right.
And I don't understand musical terminology.
Right.
Is that syncopation or is that something different? Is that actually keeping
it's on and well? Indians are amazing.
Yeah. Their music is like the earth. And that's what I see it as, but at
yes.
the same time I don't understand like the repetitive thing.
Right, right. No, if it's on beat.
Therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is musical therapy, and they are so close to Heavenly Father. Okay, so to start or not to start, simplify life. In our homeschool, we try to keep it very simple. So I just, you know, wanted to say that. We try to really focus on music because that we learn so much through the avenue of music. Having a mentor or not, and having your children just do it on their own and be inspired to do it on their own. If they want to do that, that's great. In our homeschool, that would not work. To become a musician, it is hard work. You have to, not that we're gonna become professional or anything like that, but if you want to become something that's proficient, then you have to put in the time every single day. You have to. And you have to have some repertoire that you're working off, techniques. Technique is huge, and to have someone help you get through that, you can do that, definitely, if you have that relationship with your child. I could not do that with my child because I don't have the background. I just don't. And my mentors, we have accountability to them every week, and we drive toward that every week. That's our focus, is to be prepared for them. And everything that comes with that. What do you learn from trying to get prepared for a mentor?
You learn a lot about yourself.
Yes, you do. Yes. Do I have the willpower? Do I have the drive to do that every single day? And if you're not prepared, some weeks they're not prepared. So guess what? They get to play for 5 hours before they meet with their mentor. They cram that day and it's not fun. So they learn a lot about procrastination. They learn good character traits, skills that are really important, accountability, all those things. Just having that is important. And there's a quote that every good pianist has a mean mom. As bad as that sounds, every day isn't easy. You can't just, sit down and play this. It's hard, and we have a lot of tears in our house. But is it worth it? Is it worth it, Brayden? Yes, it's worth it. We pay a lot for music. We pay for music alone is expensive. The mentoring, the lessons are very expensive. The instruments are very expensive. There's also, they've found that fixing a deviant behavior is more expensive than an actual instrument. So it's better just to put your energy and time and effort into an instrument. And my husband and I could be sitting in the Bahamas right now, just loving life with all the money that we've put into it, but that wouldn't gain me anything. It's so worth it to put them in to their lessons and just have them learn all that, because we learn so much through playing an instrument. And being that parent that I'll say encourage, I think you use the word force, sometimes it is kind of a force, because they have the opportunity to quit too. They don't have to be in this. They can quit at any time, and they know that, and they've been told that many times. Fine, I can find better places, but not better, but anyway, if you don't want to, then that's fine. But they do know that that's what they have to do, and they stick to it, and it's good. Music payback rewards. I had a mentor text me. We were talking about one of my children, And he said, it's ironic that the profession of music doesn't pay back more because they don't get very much. Once you go into that, there's not a whole lot from it. But he says, that must be why we have the best of the best, for the most part, in the music profession, because love and passion are vital. And isn't that so true? You look at most musical mentors and they have that passion, that fire, and that translates. That's another thing I love with all my kids. They have mentors that they love and they adore. We've gone through some that don't mesh with their personalities, and so we've had to move on, and it's been hard because I have a good relationship with them. But anyway,
so they each have different mentors?
Yes. Yes, they do. Yeah. Well, violin, viola, cello, and then they'll have the one piano. So, and they're all online because we live out in Timbuktu. So, but it's worked out really, really well. Yeah, so the mentor relationship is really important. And the best gift you can ever give your children is music. So my oldest daughter is working with a college professor right now, online. And that college professor is wonderful. And he told her, she's had three lessons with him so far, and she's getting prepared to do an audition. And he told her the second lesson that he had with her, she had done quite a bit that week and put in 4 to 5 hours every day of practice. And he told her, he said, you know, I had a girl come to me and she says, what can I do to get in with you? And he says, oh, this and this and this. And she says, no, I am going to have lessons with you. I'm going to be your student and I'm going to get into your college. What do I need to do to prove that to you? I will do whatever it takes. And she did it. And he said, hard work is everything. You will get whatever you want if you show me that you're willing to work hard. Because anybody can develop a talent and get where they want to if they have that drive and that willpower. And so I thought that was a really good lesson that he taught her. And she also was so scared to go have lessons with him. It took so much for me to get her to send that email, or let me send the email, actually. Her confidence, she just didn't have it. And she'd already gone a year of college somewhere else, and it was so sad. But now I can see her self-esteem growing, and she's just gaining confidence. And that's what music does for you, too, playing that instrument. And just getting to different levels, because you're striving all the time to get to this level, to get to this level, and just proving yourself to someone. And so that was really awesome. In music, relationships and the heart do come first. And there's a quote that I have on my fridge. Never let a problem to be solved become more important than a person to be loved. And that's by President Monson. And sometimes I don't pay attention to that. I'll admit, you know, there are some days where, oh, but I always go back and talk and we communicate. And the other day with my little 9-year-old, he threw a fit because he had waited till the very last. And so again, we had to just get him prepared that day. And I said, well, what would you do if you were me? He says, I don't know. I mean, it was after he'd calmed down. But anyway, he realizes that I'm in a bad spot too. What would you do if you did what you did? You procrastinated and told me you practiced, but you didn't. And because I can't always be there for him. But that's another thing, besides communicating, is being there to practice with him every day. He's still just 9 years old. And of course he's going to go hide and run and read a book. He loves to read books. He did like to watch movies, but we've got him pretty much past that. I think we're good now. He loves to read, and it's because of his violin. He just couldn't read before, so he was bored and he wanted to go watch a movie. But now he reads prolifically. So he loves to just run off and do that, which is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing because he's reading good books. But at the same time, he has to practice. And so I need to do that. And I can't always just be there for 2 hours every day. And so I'll be in the kitchen doing something and, you know, go in if he needs it or have him right there with his violin in front of me. And so you do have to help those little ones. And I'm starting my 5-year-old this summer too. Oh, heaven help me. Because she's going to take a lot of time, but it'll be worth it. That when you first start those little ones out, they need a lot of time. And so I'm gearing up for that one. But like I said, it'll be worth it. Brayden, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't tell this, but he did a performance one time and, oh, the piano. he did it and he nailed it. I was just so happy. And he came out and I was just crying. He's kind of leaned toward the piano ever since then. I don't know if that's true, if that's why. But anyway, I think that they feel it when you are so proud of them. And they just want to do more and more. And he's just done better and better and better on it. And so they can feel it. But then other times when, I don't have time for this today, Brigham, I'm sorry. They can feel that too. You have to be with them. It has to be important to you. And so, yeah, they have to feel that. That's really important. Does that make sense? We already talked about music is not for the faint of heart. It's hard stuff. To get your children to love it, they have to have someone they admire and want to emulate. My boys work hard to emulate the piano guys. They really like the piano guys. And they do, Brian plays the cello and Braden plays the piano, and they do duets, and I love it. It's pretty cool, and they have a lot of fun with that. And then they do whatever it takes to become like that person, which, again, is hard work. And they have to have great, memorable experiences performing the music to get them motivated enough to push themselves hard enough to perform yet again. And adjudications are great for that, too, because it's so important to have that goal all the time, you know, to work toward. Kind of like a marathon, and they just ran a half marathon, and their dad runs several marathons, and so it takes a lot of hard work to work up to that. Keeping the good memory and looking to that great mentor, having a good relationship with them. And then children need discipline. I expect them to practice every day, and we don't practice on Sundays unless they have a performance, which they do a lot of Sundays have performances, but we try to get that rest, and a lot of Saturdays we take off too, unless they haven't practiced all that week. But Suzuki does say you're supposed to practice every day that you eat. So another fabulous motivator is getting them to play with another group, like an orchestra or a band. They did play in a little bluegrass band, and that was really fun. Quartet, a piano concerto group. Any gig where they play with others and have to be prepared to keep up with others, it's good peer pressure. Last weekend, they went to Evanston and played with the orchestra there, and so that was fun. And it was fun to just watch them slide into it and play with them and using their musical skills, because they had such a tiny, tiny orchestra. We almost doubled. So that was really fun to see them do that. Oh, and then send them to camps. That's really good, too, to send them to camps. And last year when I sent Braden across the country, I was so nervous because, I mean, sending a 14-year-old across the country and not seeing him for a month is really hard. But he did fine because he was in a good group. Usually when you have musical people together, the caliber of people is usually a lot higher when you're dealing with music. And so I'm not saying it's bad, like a football camp, but it's just different. They have different standards a lot of times. So the group that they're with, peer pressure, is good there. And they're pushing each other to do fantastic things. And so it's great. So if you do another resource, and you maybe know about this, the HoffmanAcademy.com for piano playing too, that's a good resource too, if you decide to just do it on your own. And then, so how serious do you want to be as a musician? And look at all the benefits. Practicing right along with your kids. Take lessons with them if you can. I haven't been able to, but I'm hoping with my two little ones I can start playing the violin with them. I would love to do that. It's different when you're older. It's a lot harder. But if I can decrease memory loss, that would be great. So that would be a great thing to do. I highly recommend that. But if you can't, just go to lessons with them. Take lots of notes. I've learned a lot just to watch them. And then you know exactly what to do when they get home. Because I know a lot of parents just drop them off, which, you know, sometimes you can't help it. I have done that too. But as much as you can, go to their lessons. That's huge. And don't expect them to be serious musicians without serious practice. It's also another avenue of music is expression. In playing an instrument, it's one thing to just play the notes, but then it's another to add all that expression. And we're working on that with Braden. He's a great musician, but putting that expression into it is really important. And I think that that's a great personality trait to bring out, because he's quiet and great kid, We just need to bring out that expression. All of his mentors and adjudicators just said, put some expression in it. So that's important too, to always bring out the highs and lows and the rubatos and the dynamics and all of that. And another thing Brigham's violin teacher used to tell him, think of a story. Make up a story for this song and then just play that story. It makes a huge difference. As they're playing their piano pieces or whatever, just think of a story and really play it up. And you'll see huge differences. It's great. Recently in our community, they fired two major musical teachers. And they had university degrees. They were awesome. And they came in and took some big cuts in the funds. And it was so sad. And they took out two musical people. And we homeschool, so I shouldn't even worry about it. But those two, they were in our community orchestra. One of them was our mentor, so that's why we're on kind of online now. But anyway, he was one of our musical mentors, and then the other one did fabulous things in the community for us. And then another one left because of all this, and he was another musical mentor. He was a violin teacher, and he led our community orchestra. And he has a musical store in our area. And I mean, this all just is coming crashing down. And so when something happens, it really affects all of us, all of our community. And then they also had connections to bring in great musical performances and do wonderful things for us. And so we need to fight for this. And the government is cutting funds for that too, nationwide. And so writing to our governor and senators and all that is really important. Brian did that, a couple of them. So that was great. And then I wrote two letters to the editor. I took this CD to borrow to the school administrator. I had several meetings with him personally. And then I went to the school board and I spoke to them in front of everyone. So scary. Anyway, it was totally out of my comfort zone. And I didn't have time to do that. Come on, just keep it all intact. But because of that, not just me, but a lot of us went together and we all did this. Well, it was a small group of us that band together and went and did this. And so they reinstated it in the grade school because these kids, Brayden is in the high school orchestra. And kids, if they don't start at fifth and sixth grade, then they won't keep going. And so they won't be there to be in his orchestra in high school. And so we needed to reinstate that. And because we fought for it, they reinstated it. So it makes a difference. So please speak up and speak out. And that was a great opportunity for our kids to see that and to stand up and fight for our music. I'll just end with, I'm just so extremely grateful that I have the opportunity to run my homeschool with music and to have that dominate whatever we do. Thank you for coming, and I hope that this was helpful to you, and I really encourage you to bring music into your home and use it because it just has a ton of benefits.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.